Guys, we're going to get into this book here for just a little bit. Proverbs chapter 3. You know these fellas argue over, and y'all probably do this, I can tell by looking at you. Y'all probably argue over Ford and Chevrolet, right? Hear that stuff everywhere I go. And the funniest thing I could think of a while ago when he was playing, I thought real men play Martins. Amen, brother, and amen. You can tell the crowd that plays something else. And if you can't afford a Martin, listen to this. Save your money and get one. Amen. I've noticed since I've been a little kid, that's the best sounding guitars in the world. They're made in America, too. That's even better, ain't it? Our soon-to-be president reelected is going to say amen to that, too, because he wants everything made over here. And while we're sitting here, my phone's blowing up back there. I looked at it. A good friend of mine sent me some messages. They've got that Dominion thing up there in Washington looking over it now. They found the servers, but they can't find the president of it, the corporation. They moved out overnight here last week. While we was getting ready for Thanksgiving, they was piling up every piece of paper they could in any box they could find and getting out of America. Nobody knows where they're at. Wow. But if what I understand is correct, and I learned this back in the 1980s, you could read a piece of paper from a satellite. Don't worry, they'll find him. They found bin Laden. They found that other character over there in Iraq, Saddam Hussein, in a ditch.
Yeah. Right.
They'll find this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that justice would prevail in all this.
Yes.
But in case it don't, I think the rapture should happen, don't you? Amen and amen. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Amen.
And it's not him so much, it's her.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'm not going to joke about this. It sounds like the start of a joke, but did you hear Joe Biden tripped and hurt his ankle today? That's the test run for him falling over and breaking his neck.
Yeah.
So why would you think that? Because he ain't worth a bullet. There'll nobody fire at him. He ain't worth one. They'd have to have him and her both lined up together before they'd do that, and the Clintons behind them. Amen. I got to get all this meanness out of my system before I get started. I'm sorry. As you look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 down there, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
Yes, sir.
As we look at this text today, I want to talk to you about serving faith. Most of you in here serve the Lord in some capacity. Whether you are a pastor, associate pastor, an evangelist, or just a preacher, you serve the Lord in some capacity. Maybe you serve the Lord like our dear sister back there with the sound system. And some of you operate cameras in the house. I never thought we'd see that in our churches, but I'm glad we got all that stuff now. I'm glad that I can turn on a video and not have to put up with Jimmy Swaggart asking for money.
Right.
Some of y'all like Swaggart. I'm gonna crucify him today, too, by the way. An oral ripoff behind him. Amen and amen.
Right.
But as we look at this text, we're going to look at serving faith. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the pastor here. Lord, thank you for the heritage of this church. Thank you for these folks here, Brother Caldwell, and the other preachers here today. God, I pray you bless all of them. And Lord, I pray today to thank you, Lord, for good singing today as well, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll help us now as we look at the Word of God. Lord, that you'll, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may be able to wondrous things out of thy law. And God, help me to preach what thus saith the Lord is, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be it in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, we ask you all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
As we look at the Bible, and we're talking about serving faith, there's only one definition of faith, and Webster's is not it. The one definition of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it's very plain when it says, "Now faith is." God's going to tell you exactly what that is, and you can get the contextual definition, but when it says faith is, the next sentence is it.
Sure.
Right.
And he says there that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And when you go to the Lord, you want to go to the Lord in faith, when you pray, because that's how prayers are answered.
Yeah.
They're not. They're not answered on your cell phone by calling everybody you know to league up with you somewhere, and to get the crowd on your side.
Right.
There's been way too many pastors in this area that have done that, only to find out when it comes on the time of the day they're going to vote him out, all that crowd goes to the beach on it. Says sorry, we can't make it.
Yeah.
How convenient! How convenient!
Yeah.
You know what that tells me? They were that way the whole time.
Right. Sure.
They were lying to your face, and you got deceived, and now you in a mess. How'd you get there? By not having faith.
What about right.
Right.
You can't serve the Lord in the flesh, and I'll tell you why. You will wear out like that.
Yes.
One of those Sword of the Lord preachers, I saw you had that magazine back there, R.B. Ouellette, wrote a book, and in that book he talks about people that says they're burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
He said that is not so from God.
Yeah.
He said you might get burned up and burn yourself up doing something for the Lord and get on fire for God,
mm-hmm.
but you won't burn out as long as you're walking in his strength and power.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that before, but I thought, boy, I'm going to think of it from now on.
Yes.
Anytime I feel like I can't go, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
And if
right.
I feel like I'm burned out, I know who that is. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's that spirit that works in the children
right.
of disobedience trying to weasel his way back in. We want to serve the Lord. When I got saved, I'd have done anything for the Lord. A few months later, I couldn't have done anything for the Lord. You know why? Everybody's kept trying to throw wet blankets on the fire.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
I mean, it's awful.
Oh, yeah.
Day after day after day, somebody coming along telling me, well, you know, you can't do that. That'll make such and such mad. This will do that and that'll do that. I got real sick of it, and I thought, man, these people here don't want to do nothing for the Lord but show up on Sunday.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
When I got saved, I was a third shift person. I didn't go to church for the first month on Sundays for having to work on Sunday morning. I went there Sunday, Wednesday night. I thought we had a good church of 40 people in that big old auditorium.
Yeah.
I showed up, brother, the first time on Sunday morning. There's 500 people there, and I didn't know them.
Wow.
They would come up to me and say, oh, dear brother, we've been praying for you to get saved. I'm glad God got you in church. Are you going to get saved today? I said, I got saved on April 7th. I've been here a few months. Where have y'all been? I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at work crying because I can't go to church on Sunday morning because I got a slave driver for a boss.
Yeah.
And when I don't show up on Sunday night, Wednesday night, never seen those people.
Yeah.
This is circa 93. Mm-hmm. I think things haven't changed.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a statement last night in Brother Pickle's church, and y'all don't understand this, y'all preachers. If you travel anywhere and you do anything for the Lord, the best love offering you're going to get is not going to be from the 5,000-seat auditorium when it's 98% full. They'll hand you $10 and tell you thank you for coming. You preached your guts out, prayed for that crowd and everything else. Good thing we don't do this for money.
Right,
but God has a sense of humor, though. Don't you know that?
Right.
We had a missionary from Ghana, Africa with us. We've been supporting Brother Jeremy Kenny. He said when he's on deputation, and you know what deputation is? That's the college of hard knocks that they didn't teach you about in Bible college.
Right.
He said he had three kids, all of them needing shoes, and one of them wearing a pair out before he could hand them down. It's just, he said, I don't know what was going on. He said, and all of a sudden noticed I could feel the floor with my toe. He said, and we was praying, Lord help us, so we pulled into a Goodwill. That's called the Independent Baptist Shopping Mall is the Goodwill.
Right.
There's two places your wife wants to go today, Goodwill and Cracker Barrel Store. You ever seen The Walking Dead? That's where they're at, both in places. Doing all this stuff here, bumping into each other and everything else. But listen to this. He sat there and he said, Lord, I've got a little bit of money. I'm going to try to get them shoes in here. Went in there, not one pair fit him. Here comes a guy going in the door and said, the Lord told me to buy you and your family some shoes. Hmm. So that'll never happen to me. Have you needed shoes and ask God?
Yeah.
He said, instead of getting worn hand-me-downs, we got brand new shoes for the first time in my marriage.
Yeah.
I told him after he said it, I thought, thank God.
Yeah.
I used to about starve to death, if you don't believe that. Then the doorbell would ring, and there's somebody sent a pizza. I said, Lord, thank God for that.
Amen.
Didn't have to ask a soul, but the Lord, he'll take care of you.
Yeah. Right.
But in case he wouldn't have, I'd have called one of y'all. You know, reaching out and all that stuff. How you doing, brother? Can you feed me today? You know.
Right.
I was making $100 a week when all this stuff was happening. That was God's joke on people around our area. $100 a week, can you live on that? Oh, yeah.
Mm.
We had a family of 3.5. One was on the way. And God took care of everything.
Right.
And I think to this day that why Jordan was born the way he was is the pizza and things we fed her while she was pregnant. I don't know, but it could be anything. But we're looking at serving faith, and there's really, I think, several types of faith. I want to talk to you about a couple of these right quick before we get the message. There's saving faith.
Right.
Well, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe how? By faith.
Yes, sir.
By faith.
Sure.
Listen, I didn't get baptized until like 3 or 4 months after I got saved. I'm glad it wasn't baptism, because if I'd have got killed in a car wreck between the first few months, where would I have been?
Right.
There's a guy that goes to Southern Baptist Church in town, and he's a bank manager in town. He handles your money, believe this or not. He goes to a Baptist church, and he's a Church of Christ in his beliefs. He got to tell me what he believed, and I said, "You're Church of Christ, you're a Campbellite." "Oh, no, I go to First Baptist." "I don't care where you go to church at, I recognize that stuff anywhere."
Sure.
And, you know, people, they don't understand saving faith. They're still trying to work their way to heaven. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, because you ain't going to have God, so you're going to need all the luck you got to find somebody to lead you to Jesus, brother. And then there's what we call in the Bible, and most of you know about this, is slaying faith. Little David walks out with a slingshot and does what? Kills a man. Why? Because he dared to fight the armies of God.
Yeah,
right.
And I always thought to myself, and this is just my personal thing, why didn't Saul go down there? He had been close to his size. Yeah. Instead, he's sitting there shaking under his crown.
Yeah.
What'd God do? Called a willing soul
that
would believe that God could take that man down.
Right.
He is the first man you would say in the Bible got slain in the spirit.
Yeah.
Because God's Spirit used that to do a great work in that country and put a little boy's name that nobody knew on the map. That was a man after God's own heart. You've got surrendering faith. How long was it after you got saved that you come along and you got somewhere with God and you crawled under something that didn't feel like worthy to even breathe and said, "Lord, you can have it all"?
Right.
I'm going to tell you what verse you had and didn't even know it. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." You surrendered to him. I tell you exactly where I was at. I was in that same balcony of that same church. I was up there running the sound for this guy giving a conference on the mind of Christ. And I don't know what happened. I just got thinking about that. I'd never give everything to God. And I crawled up under that PA system.
Yeah. What about it?
So why'd you do that? Well, I didn't have nowhere else to go. They wouldn't give an altar call in them conferences, you know. It's intelligent people, not like us. I mean, we're high-spoken people and all that. Degrees from Tennessee, Georgia, New York City, and everywhere else. You know, big, high-spoken people. I keep a dictionary around them, so if you say something I don't understand, I can find out what you're saying.
Yeah.
Back then, I used it a lot. And you know what's funny? Everybody back then was saying, "Well, the King James Bible, this is better than this." I could understand this and couldn't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
I figured it out after a while. It didn't take long. I just saw what Bible Grandma carried. In fact, that pretty much settled it for me.
Yeah.
I'm afraid Grandma's lost a job now. She's looking in the NIV, and we need to help Grandma out now.
Right.
You got all these faith. You got surrendering faith, slaying faith, saving faith, and then you got what's called staying faith.
Yeah.
Psalm 18, verse 18 says, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay."
Yeah.
Right.
God says stand, God says stay, and he'll do both of them with you.
Amen.
I think that we've got a case in our ministries now where we're looking for a better place to go. Do you realize something? You where you're at is the best place to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Wherever that is. Today we're here.
Amen.
Tomorrow you'll be somewhere else. Next week, next year you'll be somewhere else.
Sure.
Staying faith. You just stay there.
Amen.
So where's there? Wherever you going?
Yeah.
Wherever God puts you, just stay there.
Amen.
Don't let people that want to come in and be a pulpit committee influence you to do something that God hadn't told you to do.
Right.
I had one come to my church one time, and it snowed that morning. Had two people show up.
Yeah.
They come in, and they thought it was the biggest failure in the world. And I done told them not to come. They came anyway. They trudged through the snow and all that stuff. I thought, Lord, have mercy. These people are desperate. They're going to go through the snow to hear me. Especially if you tell somebody no. They don't understand no no more either.
Right.
Oh, it's God's will. After they saw them two people sitting there, wasn't God's will no more. I'm not a church growth expert.
Yeah.
But all you preachers, everybody keeps looking at you, and they'll come up to you, and they'll do this stuff. They'll say, they see you in Walmart.
Oh, hey, you down at Deacon Baptist Church?
Yes,
how much you running down there?
Right.
Oh, bless you, Art. We'll be praying for you.
Right.
Yeah. Might be some kind of failure. Not having about 1,000 people.
Right. Yeah.
Let me give you some words of encouragement. That crowd that does that ain't put an extra pew in their church.
That's
in
right.
30 years.
It's right. Sure.
Right. Sure.
Sure.
I would tug some out.
You know what they need to do? They need to call the taking pews out and up at the fish camp be what they really are. Business.
Right. Yeah, my preacher.
So is that in the Bible? I'm sure it's in there somewhere. But as we look at this servant faith, there's some instruction God gives right there in verse 5 and 6. I had a long drive down here. My wife couldn't come, and I had to drive the whole thing myself, so I'm jittery, nervous, and everything else. I hate construction, and I hate traffic. I can do half the drive. She's got to do the other half. Brother Bill, you understand. It's one of them things. When I went down there to the ministry thing, the pastor that I was preaching for, he offered to drive, and I said, well, amen. But inside, I was going, yes. Y'all understand. Some of you feel like I do about driving. I wish I could get my license back and never get another one. I'm serious. I hate driving. You know why? People make it bad.
Yeah, right.
Here, let's give them this lane. And they're right in front of you. I had a transfer truck try to pin me to the wall a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, dude, I'm going to do like Smokey the Bandit. I'm going to slide up under you and hide. Of course, I couldn't. I'd had to... let the top down, so to say. That he would help me with that car, though. But the first instruction you got to have concerning serving faith is verse 5. And that is simply this. You got to have the director of faith.
Yeah.
He's the one who tells us where to go. Trust in the Lord.
Yes, sir.
There's the director. He shows up that quick. And it says, with all thine heart. Mm-hmm. And when he says, with all thine heart, there's going to be some hard times you're going to have to trust him in.
Right.
I've never met somebody used of God that's not suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Diabetes, right. Tuberculosis, whatever else you may have. There's a list of stuff you can have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? God's got such a sense of humor that you'll one day wake up old and hurting all over and think, where did the time go? God said, no, I brought you here to get this.
Right.
You ever had a backache? You ever had sinus problems? Thank God for them gifts. They're hard.
Right.
You can't breathe. You wake up in the morning, your mouth's dry because your nose closed up overnight. Your back hurts so bad you can't roll over. And when you do get up out of bed and stand up, you remember your knees hurt from yesterday. But you might be like some of us are. You don't have to worry about combing your hair and brushing your teeth. You throw them in a glass and go on. Somebody asked me, said, you not ashamed of having false teeth? I said, no, I paid well for them things. I ain't ashamed of them. For the first time in my life, I'd bite into wood and not have to worry about breaking my jaw or breaking my teeth out. You know, I like to be straight and to the point, and the director of faith is, he said, trust him.
Sure.
And he said, with all thine heart.
Right.
And knowing he's the director of faith, there's got to be something about that heart thing that he looks at. And you know what he sees? Something desperate, wicked, black, full of sin, and looks at us and says, trust me instead. But if you're going to trust me, do it with your whole heart.
Yeah.
Don't let that fleshly heart overrule you.
Because
there's going to come a time in your life, somebody's going to try to pull something on you and try to tell you, well, that ain't how it is. Here, put your Bible away. Let me tell you how I feel about it.
Yeah.
You run into them yet? You won't be in the ministry long if you don't run into that crowd.
Yeah,
right.
That late Dr. D. James Kennedy, he said this in that book, Evangelism Explosion. He said he went to somebody's house, sat down with the Bible, trying to lead them to Jesus, and she said this, quote, I do not believe my God will put anyone in hell like you claim. He said, ma'am, I hate to inform you, but that is not the God of the Bible that you were talking about. She had never heard all that.
Right.
And he said, I was about to leave, and it dawned on me. I turned around and asked her, are you saved? She said, yes. He said, from what then?
Right, right.
If you're not saved from something, you can't be saved to something.
Right.
If you get in a car wreck today, I want you to be saved out of the wreckage and to good health. See?
Sure.
Right.
You just won't get saved to good health for no reason.
Right.
It means it has to be bad first, right?
Right.
That's what we got with the Lord. We trust him. He takes care of it. He's the director. I've never been in a Hollywood movie or nothing like that, but when I was a little kid, we had Christmas plays, and somebody always directed them plays. You know what the problem we got now is? We got a bunch of directors and one actor going on.
Yeah, right.
We got to let him direct the thing. Somebody said recently, they said, well, we're going to have to do all these adjustments because all the way the church and the world are and all that. Do you know you can take all your schemes, programs, plans, plays, skits, dramas, and everything else you possibly can think of, and God still will trump that thing and say, I like my way better.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Y'all ever been street preaching before?
Yes,
you ever dealt with crazies on the side of the road?
Yes.
Guy pulled up, one of my preacher boys was preaching, and he sat there and done this right at the guy while he was passing by. And he stopped. I said, keep preaching, I got him. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'll just get back in his car somewhere or another. He came up and said, y'all are doing this wrong. I said, well, y'all tell me what we're doing wrong. He didn't tell me what was doing wrong. He said, I would build a barbecue pit and have a bunch of stuff, hot dogs, hamburgers, and invite the youth over and go out there. He said, you're doing this wrong. I said, well, we ain't got a barbecue pit. There ain't a mason among us that can lay bricks. I said, I tell you what, let's do. You go build the barbecue pit and let me know when it is, and I'll come over.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, I said, have a nice day. I mean, he just couldn't say nothing. He just looked at me.
Yeah.
And he got back in his car, and I haven't been invited yet.
Yeah. Right.
I don't understand that. I'm nice. I obviously like to eat. Why would you not have me over?
Right.
I didn't come to preach today. I came to eat. This is just a bonus.
Oh, okay.
I didn't listen. I come to listen to preaching and eat. I didn't come to preach. I'll be honest with you. I just come for the food. If our church ever goes under, I'm going to be one of the guys with the cardboard sign. We'll preach for food. And I'm sure a pulpit committee somewhere will see it. And they'll think, oh, that we're led of God. Right there he is. In hungry times, you trust Christ. And in horrible times, you trust Christ. And God warns us about something that we think we are hold the market on, and that's common sense. The truth you'll understand today is that common sense is not common, and we don't have any. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a 0 point, and I still believe in eternal security. But I want to inform you today that beyond a shadow of a doubt, when people get to talking about this, I got common sense stuff, the Bible says that the devil can deceive the very elect.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
He can.
Sure.
And if he's got henchmen out near you, he'll get you.
Right.
I heard a guy say one time, ain't nobody ever get over on him. And they say, he is up there bragging left and right. And there's a guy sitting in his church there. And I knew the guy. I thought, that guy will get you. He did. You want to hear a really cool story? This is the rabbit run of the year right here. And this is a true story, but I won't tell the names because it's so embarrassing for these people. There was a church in town that got to bragging on how much money they had.
Uh-oh.
They had the next big thing pastoring them. You know, everybody loved him. The women the men wanted him, and the men wanted to be like him. And they went from north side, south side, east side, and west side to come to that church. He went down to the local convention office and down to here in Columbia to this one down here. He was bragging how they had all this money to make. $125,000 they'd give to the program that year. Here's the punchline. They had a pen-fed printer printing out checks. Those of you that work with computers, you know what a pen-fed printer is. Brother Caldwell knows. Some of you other fellas used to own one. They were hard to handle. But she would print out checks to these places, tear them up, and get them all in a pile, burn them, and write one check for that whole amount to a guy named Cash. One day, as the guy's bragging about what all they got, they called him from the assassination office down here and told him this. We heard you at the conference the other day talking about how much money you gave. You haven't gave a dime to this. He said, that can't be possible. He said, I got our financial statement. It says right here we gave that to the over the last 2 years. He said, sir, I hate to inform you, but you gave us nothing. You need to check around what's going on. So he's mad, right?
Yeah.
He walks out in the parking lot and sees that red Corvette sitting there. If you work 4 hours a day as a church secretary and / bill payer, whatever you want to label that thing, and you show up one day with a brand new, right off the showroom floor Corvette, I know a man that can buy them and sell them like that, individual. He told me, I've not checked because I don't want one. If you gave it to me, I'd give it to him. Because if you got me in it, you have to get the rollback to come get me out of it. I'm just not flexible like that. But that fella said that that car is worth $75,000 for the low-end model. My house is less than $75,000. It's in Gaffney, though, so if it's somewhere else, it's probably a $300,000 house. But nonetheless, I'm sitting there thinking, when the guys told the story, he said he called Sam Burns out at Burns Chevrolet. He said, you sell this car? He said, oh, yeah. He said, who bought it? He said, this very nice lady. And we told her we probably couldn't finance her, and she popped out cash and paid for the whole thing. $70,000 for a Corvette. It was like a light showing from heaven. He already knew where the money went right there. They called the police in, and she's in prison right now. Why? She's a thief.
Right, yeah.
Why'd it happen to them? He is a braggart.
Right.
Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall.
Sure.
And if you read that thing in the Hebrew and Greek, it's going to say this: don't brag on people. They'll let you down and they'll steal everything you got.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a true story.
Right.
I knew everybody involved in that thing. I felt sorry for them.
Yeah.
I talked to a preacher up in town, and y'all would know if I called his name, good brother. He said, God may bless her for taking away from that old liberal program down there. I said, I can about see that. But that common sense thing, well, why'd they hire the woman? She's a nice lady. She had previous experience.
Sure.
And to my understanding, that'd be a great person to have, wouldn't it? He said, lean not into thine own understanding.
Sure.
Yep.
Right.
What would you do if you showed up in the morning at your job, if you got a job, you showed up there, and the guy said, well, I just got to let you go. If he said, why? I don't like you anymore. Can they do that in this day and age? Absolutely not. I would. Somebody fire me under them conditions. I'd go get a lawyer and own the company, wouldn't you? I mean, that's the way we do things now. The United Suits of America, lawsuits, you know. And people do this stuff. They say, well, it makes the most sense if we do this. And it don't make the most sense. We don't do anything foolish. We do it by faith. Lean not thine own understanding. How many of y'all know how to weld? 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't. But it makes sense to me that if you would take that helmet off, you could see better what you was doing. Yeah, and then your career's over. You know. You ever met a blind welder? Of course you haven't. They don't exist. What do you do wrong? Probably what I just said. It would make most sense to, once you hear that statement, you'll never forget this. God said, don't do that.
Right.
And he warns against common sense, but if you look at verse 6, he says this. He's the director, right? Here's his direction of faith. This is simple instruction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So God desires from you, for the direction he's wanting to give you right now, he wants you to have simply personal worship with him when nobody's around.
Right.
Anybody can play church.
Sure.
Anybody can say the right words.
Yes. Yes.
But when they hit the prayer closet, all the dirt comes out.
Yeah.
You get in there, you're alone with God, and you got to ask God for something. You want to praise him and worship him. Most folks go in there and call out for the Corvette. And it makes simple sense. If I don't give them liberals, I don't have all the money to buy the Corvette. It makes good sense to her. He's giving you the direction. And if God gives you the direction, he wants to start it somewhere where nobody else is around to hear it but you.
Yeah.
And by faith, you got to follow your pastor as he, by faith, follows Christ.
Yes. Amen.
That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
But how do we know he's doing right? Well, God kind of attached himself and put himself in a box called the King James Bible. And in Psalm 138, verse 2, he said he put this word above his own name.
Right.
If somebody says, you're putting God in a box, no, I wouldn't dare do that. But God did.
Yeah, sure.
He's enclosed himself in where somebody says, Well, I had a feeling that I should do this. And when that man started praying and said, Lord, lay your healing hands on me, I started feeling better already. He didn't even know I was sick. I promise you, they know everybody's sick. Mm-hmm. I forgot what that movie was. Steve Martin was in it. He had an earpiece in his ear. That's telling him what to do the whole time. Kind of like Joe Biden does. And he's in there calling out things, and people have filled out of them cards. Somebody here with this, you know, they'd come running up there and everything. I thought, Lord God, have mercy. That's exactly what that crowd does. Yeah. There was a woman, I went to this church, and I was young in the faith, been saved maybe a month. I'd got my first coat and tie. It was tied backwards and come up to here and everything, but I liked that thing. It was my first tie I had. And this friend of mine said, don't you come to our church Sunday night? I said, can't we have a church? He said, don't worry about that. When you get out, you have plenty of time to come. We have 2.5 hour, 3 hour services on Sunday night. I'm Baptist. We don't do that. We're talking about getting in the Holy Ghost, and we still don't go past an hour or so. Right? So I get in there, and I'm sitting back there where Miss Tori is, and I'm sitting there watching this stuff, and it was nothing like I'd ever seen. They had put the pulpit on the floor and brought the communion table up here, had this woman up on the microphone doing this, and she'd do that, and them guys behind her was ready to catch her. And this went on, and finally this old woman sitting over here, maybe 75 years old, she hit the deck on her back. I've watched pro wrestling all my life and almost got into it. I can tell you exactly how she failed. She was protecting herself when she fell. She knew how to fall. I punched the guy beside me and said, y'all gonna call the ambulance on her? I'm sorry, but if you fall out, I'm calling. Better make it good, because when they get that $3,000 for you to be acting, okay? And they will get it through your tax return or your house, take your pick. When she fell like that, and I thought, man, she's a big one. Boom, you know. I thought, Lord, she's dead. But amazingly enough, no one else was concerned, because she was being slain in the spirit, you know. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. So I went to get a drink of water, and there's some kids playing back there. And they looked at me and said, we learned two things today in church. I said, what'd you learn? They said, we learned how to do the holy life and how to speak in tongues. Some of you dare wouldn't preach this. You got people there hanging on that stuff. Let me just give them this tape, lift them here, let me make them mad. Number one, there is no holy laugh but God's.
Right.
He laughs at the heathen in derision.
Right.
He's laughing real hard right now.
Sure.
Number two, tongues ceased when the Bible was finished.
Right.
Because when that which is perfect is come, that which is done in part will be done away with.
Sure.
Amazing thing. You studied church history. It quit in AD 95 and showed up 1906 in Los Angeles, California, of all places.
Right.
How about that? And here's the strangest thing. I'm going to talk in tongues for you. You're going to think I got the gift. You ready? Two phrases. Who stole my Honda, and look at my bow tie, and you just throw anything in there with that, and you'll fake them people out. I told this exactly like this in a prison service one time. There was 100 guys there, and when I got through doing it in front of them, they said, you're not kidding. You've got the gift. We can tell you got the gift. And I thought to myself, yeah, who, look at my bow tie. Who stole my Honda? You say that thing real fast, and I said, they'll look around for an interpreter. I just read this morning, there's only three things you got to have talking in tongues. They ain't never had them in a charismatic church in America since 1906. Here you go. Number one, the guy speaking has to speak in a language he's never studied, never learned, never heard. The miracle's in his mouth at that point. Number two, there has to be somebody there who hears that language and has never heard it before, never studied it, and can interpret it word for word. And then number three, here's the part that gets them. They fake the first two. Third one is there got to be a Jew present to hear the gospel.
Sure.
And that message has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
How about that? Yeah. In that same chapter, you ready for this? I'd rather, right in the middle of it, Paul says, I'd rather speak 5 words in a known language than babble like a channel 16 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I looked at 5 words. I kept hunting them down. So Lord, what's them words? He showed me. Jesus said them. Ye must be born again.
Yeah.
That's the message that they have to have.
Amen.
Like I said, show this to you people. Let them get mad at me. I don't care. I'm 51. I go to the bathroom when I want to. I eat when I want to. And I say what I want to now. I ain't worried about anything no more. When I was 25, I kind of cared. But now, I don't care for nothing. But you know that thing? He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Thinking on those words, don't you look at two places in your Bible. Proverbs 15 is the first one. We talk about the director of faith giving us the direction of faith. I gave you Psalm 138, verse 2. God says he said his word above his own name. He's got it there. The Bible's been here. It's been perfect. Somebody said, no, that thing is perfect. It's Jesus when he comes. I said, but he said in the past tense, when that which perfect is come, it's right. Here.
Yeah.
Simple. Right. We ain't got to wait for Jesus to come back and have something perfect. We already got him right here. Right here. And we got a perfect book that he perfectly speaks to us. And if they correct this book, they're not of God. I don't care where they got their degree from.
Sure.
Right. I endured graduating 4 Bible colleges. I'm telling you, they some rascals in that place.
Yeah, right.
But they all have one thing in common with this, a good teacher. You know what it is? They'll tell you their testimony, how they got saved before they tell you anything else.
Yeah.
3 of my degrees came from a school. I had to do them online because I don't like to drive. And they all, when they got through giving their testimonies after 3 years, I know about more about Roman Catholicism than I've ever read about in my life. Every one of them guys is a former Catholic. I found out most Catholics where I live don't know anything about Catholicism.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I had my aunt worked for him as a secretary, and I went down there and asked her some questions. She had no clue what I was talking about. Her priest couldn't answer 2 of them. Of course, he is drunk, though. You'll have that. But if you look at Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they're established. You and I have been taught to compare Scripture with Scripture, right?
Right.
Spiritual
sure.
things, spiritual. 1 Corinthians. And we'll look at that verse, and we'll jump right out of the Bible and say, let me call all my preacher friends to see how they feel about it before I make the decision. Now, this is going to be hard, and I'm not going to joke around with you about this, but I know people, including me, that used to do this. Remember the telephone thing a while ago? Now we got better telephones. We can text them, Facebook message, Instagram, what's that new one? Parler, MeWe, and all them. I've learned all these in the last 2 weeks because I found out I was a dinosaur saying Facebook. I couldn't reach out to the kids no more. Y'all understand what these things are, right? Is that right, Mama? They know? They've heard these things because they're kids. They've heard them somewhere. TV, something. And the funniest thing is, we are establishing the fact that God speaks from this book, but then we go ask everybody else what they think. Look over at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I want to give you something that'll change your life, help you with your walk with the Lord, and be a blessing to you all at the same time. And your Bible says this very plain. In verse number 24 of Psalm 119, and you know this Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. Thy testimonies, that's his words, are also my delight and my counselors. You've got 1,189 chapters, 31,102 counselors that make up them chapters.
Sure.
I know we call them verses, but they also counselors.
Right.
Thou shalt not. Don't do them things. Thou shalt. Do that one. Let this mind be. Do that one. Love me and keep my commandments. Do that one. Judge not. Learn the rest of the verse. Judge not, lest ye also be judged, and so forth. I never quote that verse and tell them where it's at, in case there be one amongst us. And there usually is. Bless your heart. Ain't it rough going around knowing one Bible verse, 2 words out of that one verse, and not knowing where it's at in the Bible? But my devotional book says, I don't care what your devotional book says.
Right.
I write for a devotional book, and I think I'm wrong half the time. It just don't come out good like them other guys, seems like. You ever feel that way? Things you write down there, and God picks us, man, I like this. Okay. I go out thinking I preach the house down, everybody walks by me like this.
Right.
I think I'm a failure. They hugging my neck. I needed that message. That's straight from heaven. I'm thinking, where were you at yesterday?
Yeah.
Right? But listen to me. The direction of faith is in the Word of God.
Sure.
Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the counselors or by the Word of God. Trust in the Lord and lean not to thy your friends.
Yeah.
The best advice I've ever got was read this book till you can't read it no more and then turn around and start over and read it again.
Amen.
There was a guy, and I don't know anything about this guy's background, but he was in a book put out by Jack Chick. It's called Professor Grant Horner. That's who he is. He's got a Bible reading plan. You read 10 chapters of the Bible a day. Some of you are fainting inside right now hearing it. But let me tell you something. You start in Matthew chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1. You read a Psalm, you read a Proverb, you read Romans, you read the pastoral epistles if you're a pastor. If not, you read Hebrews 11 one day and 1 Corinthians 13 the other day. Great plan. You know what it'll do for you? You'll know where things are at in the Bible.
Right.
I mean, in 30 days, you'll almost be a scholar yourself. You'll be thinking to yourself, how'd they miss that? It's right there in the book.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff God's book does to people. It gives you enlightenment while the rest of the crowd sits in the dark.
Right.
Brother, how long have you been pastoring where you at in Anderson? How long?
20.
20 years. Maybe he knows something about reading the Bible.
Yeah, about
that. I've never found a guy that stays that long that don't read the Bible.
Right.
I'm not going to ask him just in case he don't, though, okay? Just in case. But listen to this. I found out something. If you're going to be a Christian and follow Jesus, you've got to have what Jesus said in front of you.
Sure.
Amen.
Or you'll be saying the palmist on national TV.
Right.
I thought that was a joke until I actually heard a guy say, I thought, nobody's that stupid. Yeah, they are. I'm just surprised one of us ain't said it. You know how it is. Hey, listen. Trust in the Lord and do what? Lean not thine understanding. We're working on our memory verses now. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. How's God going to do that? Very simply through the book you got in your hand.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you something that's real crazy as I close, because I think this is the nuttiest thing I ever heard in my life. Do you know that people that walk around with other versions of the Bible, they all say the same thing? I can understand this one better.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait for the punchline. When I ask them, have they read it? They don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They read a devotional book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They'll read that Catholic catechism.
Mm-hmm.
They'll read all that, but they'll never read the Bible.
Right.
If you read the Bible, you'll get God's direction because he's the director.
Sure.
And I promise you this, without those things, you are just like everybody else that don't follow God. Here's a question for you. Can saved people be like that? Sure they can. What age do you think we're living in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia or Laodicea?
Right.
Looking more like we're in the one where God spews them out of his mouth because they're lukewarm.
Yeah, sure.
I'd rather they be cold or hot too. That way I know what I'm dealing with.
Right.
It's like this. I know y'all probably don't do this, but I'm going to lay it out there for you and explain it for those of you who have never heard of Elvis Presley and all this other stuff. You liar. There is a time of year we're upon right now. It officially started Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What's the season called?
Christmas.
Do y'all like Christmas?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Yes.
It's, you know, things get kind of calm and peaceful even amongst the crowd in Gaffney. Thugs and murderers start saying Merry Christmas to each other. It's wonderful. And they don't kill nobody as much in December as they do the rest of the year. Proven statistic, you know, where we live at. Last 5 murders was in walking distance from my house. You see how big I am? I can't walk very far. I live in the city. But listen to this. When you look at that thing plainly, and you say to yourself, what is it about that day that just gets people like that? You know what it is? It's something they've heard. Something they've heard. For some reason, that one thing they heard has stuck with them all their life. They have no idea why there's so much peace selected around that time. And I don't care if you think he is born in August or born in July or born in January. I don't care. But they set apart that time years ago to have that holiday. Do you know who else celebrates that holiday? This is cool. Canada. I thought they had a good holiday. It's called Boxing Day, but it's really Christmas. I'm thinking, you know, all the Canadians get together in the family and box each other. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Knockouts for Canada, you know. But they'll sit there and they know there's peace amongst that time. In your town where you live at on Christmas Day, you don't see people milling about too much unless they go to the drugstore to get their prescriptions filled or something. Something like that. And it's just all peaceful and everybody gets along and it's a feeling like no other. And you know what? Lost people feel it too.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it, I feel it. But you and I have got a different feeling about it. You know what it is? That's not a time of year. That's when we celebrate our Savior's birth.
Right.
If you never grow up in Christianity to get past his birth, you'll never do nothing for him. You'll never trust him with anything because everybody's got babies now. There's one there, one on the way, one somewhere else, one there. What do they do? You feed them. You change them. You cuddle them when they're crying and all that. God wants you to grow up and be a big Christian. He wants you to realize Jesus grew up too. And here's the life-changing thing, another life-changing little principle. I am sick to death, and I teach homiletics, and I'm sick to death hearing people say, I have liberty to preach in a certain place.
Right. Sure.
You may be preaching to a bunch of dogs, but, sir, you brought liberty when you walked in that door right inside here, walked in the door with him.
Right.
Don't ever lean on it yourself again. You don't have to.
Sure.
And 27 years, I was scared to preach in one place till I started preaching. That was the jail right up the road here. It was called Dutchman Prison. You walk in the door and guess who you see? A guy, doing all this, trying to find out, what are you here for? Sign up, sign this, take your belt off and shoes off, put them on this. Then when you walk, he checks you again, all this. And you get down there to the airlock. It opens up, you walk in, and when that thing shuts behind you, that floor makes it feel eerie because you know these murderers in there, they wouldn't have them 20-foot fences with razor wire and another one right behind it. I was 26 years old, scared to death. I've been to jail, but I ain't been to the big house. You walk on in there, they open up the thing, and when that second one closes, you've got 10,000 convicts that do this. And you know what you do? Father, I pray you will keep me safe in this place. Oh, Lord God. You get up to preach, you forgot what your outline is, you just open the Bible and let it rip. And you know what happened that first day? Five men got saved. He said, that was a jailhouse jailhouse religion. I don't know, they all stayed out for the last 10 years or 15 years or so. They're still out.
Amen.
I think that probably was real.
Sure.
I don't think everybody is, but I think that's a pretty good thing. When this state says 4 out of 5 come back in a year and you get 5 guys and they don't come back, I wish the governor would work that into the program a little bit more.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Maybe he could let us preach at the legislature down here. We really could clean house.
Yeah.
There's worse convicts around there than they is in that jail, but listen to me.
Sure.
Take these things out of this Bible and trust God with them. Just trust him. He will do everything he says. God bless you. I hope I ain't took much time, brother. I've been waiting on your preacher to come in. I know who it was. So that last guy come in. That must be him, that guy over there, okay? Come on, brother.